Welcome to the IC Medan podcast. We are so glad and wanted to thank you for joining us today. If you want to know more about who we are, our service times and location, or how can you get involved, you can check our website at icmedan.com. We hope you enjoy the message.
Hi, Pastor Ed, I'm so excited to have you with us today to end our conversation series. And for everyone viewing, this is Pastor Ed Teo from ICA Hong Kong. And you were actually with us, I guess it's been about a year and a half ago, for Mission Sunday. We were so happy to have you here in Medan, and we've moved since then, but you saw our other facility. And even actually, we had a mission team that was supposed to come from ICA Hong Kong in July, but because of the pandemic and travel restrictions, obviously that had to be delayed. But how are you guys doing in Hong Kong right now?
Pastor Chris, I'm so glad and honored just to connect with you in this way, and also to be with your congregation today. You know, that time with you a year ago was impactful. I still talk about my visit at your place. I'm looking forward to see your new place as well. Now, Hong Kong, just like all the cities and Medan as well, we're going through huge changes. And I know that you've been praying for us. So I think today's conversation, we're going to be talking a little bit more about our own context and how the Lord has been helping us and what we can do and to help one another as well.
Right. Yeah, I think I'm really excited to talk about that and hear what you guys are doing and share what we're doing. Maybe I'll start with just some fun relationship questions, because like I told you, we have a lot of single people in our church and they want tips and advice and help. So if I could ask, how long have you and your wife been married?
We got married in 1993. So, yeah, so that must be like 28 years.
Wow. It? Yeah, me and Carrie were married shortly after that. We got married in 1995. So we've been married 25 years. So almost there. How did you guys meet?
I was in seminary in Singapore, and one day I sensed it was the time to really seriously, you know, find my future spouse. I was in the prayer room. That was in 1989, and I wrote down in my Bible that midnight about committing this, surrendering this area of my life to God, that God will lead me to the right person. And you know, that week I went to church. You know, the place was huge, a place that can sit about 2,000 people. And I was seated about 3 to 4 empty seats away from Yvonne, my wife now. And in the middle of the service, a common friend of ours just walked into the service and sat in between the two of us. And at the end of the service, he introduced us to one another, and that was how we met, as a result of prayer. Of course, my wife is not here. If she would be here, she would be telling you also her side of the story. She prayed the same prayer a week before we met.
Oh, wow,
so
that's awesome.
That meeting was really a very divine moment.
So after meeting, aside from knowing you had prayed for this moment, what was it that let you know this is the one?
Wow. Before I met her, I actually met her two other sisters a few years prior to that meeting. And that few years before she met me, she heard about me as well from her two other sisters. And that two meetings were not related or connected. Two separate meetings that eventually I could connect the dots. So, you know, even that background and that prayer itself, I knew it was an answer to my prayers. So, you know, when she showed up and, you know, it was very clear in my spirit in that service, I've never been distracted in church, never before, before that and after that. But that Sunday, I got so distracted. I noticed there was a girl beside me and I was wondering, you know, who she was. And guess what, Chris, okay, to complicate this story, or to romanticize this story. I've actually bumped into her a Sunday before, that actual Sunday when I met her in person.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's awesome. That's an awesome story. So the tip you would have maybe for singles, we have so many singles in the church, and honestly, when I give them advice, I met Carrie in high school. So, you know, I met her, and, you know, we got married right after I graduated high school, because I tell everyone, once you meet the one, just kind of get on with your life. You know, we didn't waste any time. So I tell the singles here, like, there's so many singles around. Pray about it, pick one, and move on with life together. What would be your advice for singles that maybe are hesitating or are not sure if, is this the right one? Is this the right one? Or they don't want to make the wrong decision.
I'm sure there are many good answers to that question, and you have given some of those answers as well. But I will add on to the list. I think one would be, I think you need to trust your pastor. Listen to your pastor's advice. Ask your pastor. I hope there's not a lot of pressure on you, Chris and Carrie.
That's really good advice. Actually, if they would trust my wife, Carrie, she would actually pick the person for them, so it's even easier, you know. So
yeah, you are the father of the house.
Yeah.
You know every one of them really well.
The part you mentioned with prayer is so important, because me and Carrie weren't Christian at the time, but her mom had been praying for her since she was a little girl, praying for her husband even. So even though it wasn't our prayers, later on after we met Jesus and we were Christians, we knew, wow, it's because of my mother-in-law's prayers that all of this came about. So
exactly.
Yeah, that's good stuff. I think that's going to help some singles. But let me ask you this. You're the pastor of ICA Hong Kong, and you've been the lead pastor there for around 12 years. Is that true? Something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah. What would you say leading the church and pastoring, what is one of your greatest joys in pastoring?
I think the greatest joy is the privilege that we are given to impact lives positively. And also through the resources of the church to impact our own city, the people outside the church. The church as a platform to bless our own city. These will be our two joys.
Yeah. And with pastoring too, I know, you know, often it can be heavy and there can be some pain and, you know, maybe even disappointments at time. What would you think in pastoring, what causes the greatest pain?
I think the lack of self-awareness sometimes unnecessarily caused me a lot of pain. I think my own relationship with God, I think it begins there. I think the people around us, you cannot change them, but I think when you begin to have realistic adjustment and self-reflection, you're able to see things more clearly and objectively and hear God more as well. Yeah. So I think it begins with the pastor, the leader himself. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, I think so too. I think for me often it's when it goes to that, like you said, the relationship with God, because often when I see the person or maybe I see people and potential in them and I'm trying to pull it out on my own and maybe sometimes taking on God's work as if it's my work instead of saying, God, this is your work, you know, you lead me, you know, and sometimes that can hurt when you see people, you want to drag them along like, hey, come on, get this, you can be doing this, you've got so much potential and Jesus has such a wonderful plan for you. And I think you're right. For me, often if I try to take that on myself and I need to get them here rather than trusting that I need to point them to Jesus and let the Holy Spirit continue that journey.
Yeah, my role as pastors, our role is to inspire people to love Jesus more. It's a very sacred role. So, and it is spiritual in nature, and sometimes I've got it wrong. I thought ministry is more about, you know, the numbers, the figures, and all the external and the earthly way to measure our own success and significance. And it creates a lot of frustrations. And you don't want to be working with an unhappy pastor, you know? So, but when you begin to see that really ultimately God is at the center and people are important, so it doesn't matter how the success look like or what people would measure your success or your legacy, and you just surrender it to God and just serve Him faithfully. I think this is so key and so important in every area of our lives. And as a result, you can become a better person, not only a better leader in church, but a better person, a better man, a better husband, a better father, a better friend.
That's good. The other thing I really was excited about talking to you about today, because I love your teaching on heaven come and about the church bringing heaven to earth, you know, the whole idea of making earth more like heaven and people more like Jesus. Could you share that idea with us and the whole idea behind how the church can do that and how we as Christians can achieve that?
Yeah, Pastor Chris, God's original intention has always been the kingdom of God, and which is Jesus is the embodiment of the kingdom. I know, you know, the word kingdom can mean a lot of things to a lot of people. So let me simplify. The kingdom of God is Jesus himself, the King, King Jesus. So from the beginning of creation, when God created the heavens and the earth, then he created Adam and Eve. So you have the King and then the place, heaven and earth, and then the subject, the citizens of the kingdom. But because of sin, we live in a fallen world, and you have a opposite kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, which Paul talks about. But Jesus came to this world 2,000 years ago, died on the cross, and he reintroduced, he brought the kingdom of God on earth. And therefore, the message that he preached, the gospel, is literally and simply, repent, for the kingdom of God is here, meaning he, the kingdom, present, literal, present here on earth. And a lot of people ask, so is this something that is futuristic? Why did Jesus say the kingdom of God is here? So yes, he was here 2,000 years ago, but now Jesus lives in our heart the moment you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. So the kingdom of God is in our heart. The perfect government, his rule and reign is in our heart. John chapter 10, verse 10, talk about abundant life. Not only eternal life, the heaven in the future, but the heaven that is now in us. So the kingdom of God is invisible in me, but made visible through me. All right? So the salvation, it is not something to be experienced future, or it's not a guarantee just for the future, but it is a guarantee for the present. Therefore, when I was with you, I said, salvation is heaven in me today and me in heaven tomorrow. What is the use of a salvation that is only futuristic? All right? I can wait till the moment before I die. But salvation is more appealing and attractive, and really is more of a good news. And in fact, it is a great news to know that I can experience heaven on earth today, and that it's in me first and then through me. And the book of Peter, epistle of Peter, talks about, and then the new heaven and the new earth. So the recreation or the new creation, renewed creation, is now being reversed. From heaven and earth, and then Adam and Eve, now the new Adam, okay, and then new heaven and new earth.
Wow, that's, I love that whole idea, and like you said, it's something that we're living now, the heaven in me, and then later me in heaven. What would you say for people right now that, you know, we're in a difficult time, the pandemic, the virus going on, you know, we're still here. Positive cases are climbing. I know you guys are in a third wave there in Hong Kong. How can this be seen or maybe lived out in people who, you know, a lot of the viewers may be confused because they feel like, wow, my business is struggling, or I'm at home and I'm stressed, and we're trying to homeschool our kids and all of these things. What do they need to adjust maybe in their thinking or their perspective so they can experience that heaven in me?
Yeah, I think this is really a very good season of awakening, not shaking, but awakening. For believers to the church, it is a season of awakening, not shaking. You know, in the natural, we put a lot of our faith and our trust on earthly governments, earthly wealth. Not that it's bad or wrong, but with all of these things right now happening, I mean, none of us would have expected, none of us would actually even believe this. And still today, a lot of us still don't believe what is happening. It awakened within us that the true government, the perfect government and kingdom is actually heavenly or spiritual in us. So now it is a confirmation that when Jesus brought the government from heaven to earth and the prayer that he taught us, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, which is right now, which is in us, just as it is in heaven, it gives a lot of hope. Because when people are depressed and despair, when they look at how government have failed them, the medical system have failed them, or even the economy have failed them, then they begin to look up and they begin to see, oh, what I need is actually already there, and that is found in Christ himself. So there is no reason to be shaken. The church must be awakened to the truth that we already have. We have something that is so powerful that the world is looking for, and we shouldn't be afraid nor ashamed to tell them. And we should tell them, which you are doing that, Pastor Chris, and your church, because you guys are doing so well in the city of Medan. I've always encouraged you. The last time I said, your church is meant for Indonesia and not only limited to Indonesia. Okay, God is stretching your tent. What you have is should not be contained only in Medan. How it looks like or how it is going to be translated into, I really do not know. But the apostolic ministry and mandate that is given to you and your people, I just sense that you are in Medan for such a time as this. All right? So people are looking to the church. I know that the church is closed, which we will talk about it in a little while. Okay? But, you know, the church, the local church is the hope of the world, as we have always said that.
Yeah. I agree, and I like that thought of this being an awakening, because honestly for me, and this has just been the last few weeks, you know, when this happened in the beginning, you know, we had talked about putting our services online for years, and then suddenly in a matter of 3 days, we were forced to do it, you know, and I thought it was really surprising what we were capable of when we had to be capable of it, because we thought, oh, we don't have the right camera, we don't have this. And then we sort of went into the season of, we just need to handle this till we're back in the building. It's going to be, you know, in the beginning, a lot of us, we were hearing like 2 weeks, then we'll be back. And then a month, 2 months. So we sort of went into this whole online idea at first just, okay, let's keep going, let's keep being the church. And I would say, especially this last month, I just really have a sense that we can look back on this season as the church, and this could be the moment where the church became stronger than it ever was. I feel that here. I feel it with our church, even amongst our staff and our leaders, and we're doing some different things, some discipleship midweek and different courses going on. But I really just have this sense that as the church, we can look back to 2020 and not see it as a waste of a calendar, but wow, that was the year where everything changed for us. That was the year when people, you know, strengthened their faith. They were awakened to, wow, there's more to this than smoke and lights and the song I like and all of that, you know. So I really feel encouraged, and I love that word you use, that this is an awakening.
Yeah, it is so clearly, whenever we look at something that is supernatural, we know God is in it. But the second truth that we oftentimes miss and we don't talk about, when you see anything that is unnatural, then it must be God at work as well. So what is happening today may not be supernatural, but it's definitely unnatural.
Right. Yeah, I mean, something that in some places we haven't, I mean, most of us have never, not most of us, I think all of us have never experienced anything like this at all. I mean, it's hard to, even as a church, it's hard to look to an example of, well, what did the church do before when this happened? So we find ourselves, you're right, in an unnatural season, looking to God, how can we continue to be the church? And what would you say in this season, how can the church continue to, you know, bring heaven, continue to make earth more like heaven and make people more like Jesus? How do we continue to do that in difficult times?
I like that question. Let me begin with a phrase that I saw in a friend's church website. The church has left the building. Very simple phrase, but loaded theologically. And I've asked myself, where did the church go? The church has left the building to be with Jesus, to be with the Father. The church did not run away like a prodigal child. The church has left the building to be with God. So here, simply, I think the first truth that I learned here is this. This is a season of not shaking, but awakening. It is awakening and shaping of the church. It is really, the word is purifying the church. I see a picture of Jesus cleansing the temple. So many times, I think I speak for myself and our church, we merely become a religious institution. If we are only an institution or a denomination or a religion, then you know something is very wrong. Christianity is relationship with God. And literally, we're being stripped away the shaping and the awakening. Paul uses this language that we are the bride of Christ, and he's preparing his bride to be unblemished. He's beautifying his bride. And I think this is a season of beautifying the church, removing all the cosmetics, all of those religious stuff and denominationalism and all of those things. So purifying is the word, to purify the church. Number two, then the church is the people of God, not a place, not a property, not an address somewhere. The church is the people. And now what we're doing is really, we're really doing ministry now, Pastor Chris. You know, we could be doing online, but online church is only to supplement and to complement everything that we're doing today. Now, today, ministry is happening throughout the week. It's not limited to a particular day on a Sunday or whichever day that we are used to. It's every day, everywhere. And this is what the church is supposed to be. When you look at the book of Acts, and the third thing that I learned, the church purified, the church is the people of God. Number three is that our role as leaders, as pastors, Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that our role is to prepare the church. You see, we are the spiritual parents. The pastors are never meant to be doing the work of ministry, which is Ephesians 4. Our role is to equip and to prepare the people of God to do the work of ministries and unto maturity, to reach a greater unity of faith. So, but we have got it wrong. So I've asked myself, when we were going through this in March, have I prepared the church? And I'm sad to tell you, Pastor Chris, I don't think I've really prepared the church. Maybe I accidentally prepared the church, but that never intentionally prepared the church for this day. No, nobody knew that it would happen, right? So as a spiritual father, as a spiritual parent, my role is not only to pamper the church, which is to love the church, not only to protect the church or to provide for the church, not only to discipline, which is to punish discipline for all the peace, but also to prepare the church. And I think that today, I think most of us, the healthy churches, I think we can say that I think we are beginning to prepare the church now, that the church can carry on, the people of God can carry on without the pastor and the leaders being there in person, present. And I think this is the original design when you see the book of Acts chapter 2.
Yeah, I like that, because I think some of us as pastors, I think in some ways, you know that feeling when one of your children is about to leave home and maybe they're 17 or 18 years old, and suddenly there's that feeling, if you haven't told them everything you need to know, they need to know, or equip them properly, you're trying to cram everything into that moment, you know? And I feel like this happened, the way it happened suddenly, or, you know, any equipping we're doing and thinking that feeling of, well, we've got more time. You know, I'll just equip slowly. And then suddenly we're in this season, it feels like, okay, I need to tell you everything you need to know right now because we're in the moment and you need to be equipped for this. And I love the word you use of stripping away, because even just yesterday, we're in a season of 21 days of prayer and fasting as a church here in Maidon. And when I was praying yesterday, I kept feeling that God was speaking to me about the stripping away, but sort of like that the fat is being cut away and that we're building lean muscle as the church. So I was thinking that of like the fat being stripped away, the fat being cut away. We're building this lean muscle so that the church right now in this season will be stronger. And then whenever we're back in our buildings and continuing on, however it's going to look after this, we have this stronger core or remnant or whatever it is ready to go. And, you know, I think anyone that falls along the side in this season, we'll pick them back up later. But in this time, it's really building the body for those who are there now. Let's get healthy. Let's get equipped. Let's continue the mission and not slow down and get fat and lazy and, you know.
Yeah. We don't exist for ourselves. Now, you know, you look at the book of Acts 1:8, talking about the church being commissioned, but they did not go. You know, immediately after Acts 1:8, it was more like a church gathered, but they truly became a church scattered in Acts chapter 8, verse 1. That was through persecution. And for us today, it is because of the pandemic. We're being scattered. And the nature of the church is about scattering rather than just gathering, right? So I think that, you know, the implication of the purifying and the people of God and also preparing them is that now the church, our relationship is that we are a family. I'm so proud of your church, Pastor Chris. I can truly see that you guys are a family, no matter how big you are, but the spirit of it, you know, is clearly you are the father, Carrie, the mother, the spiritual mother, and how they relate to you. You know them, and almost like, I can almost say that you almost know every one of them, okay? So I think the church is supposed to be this way, but the sad thing is this, some of the mistakes that we made, and I have made, the church is more like an orphanage. I have no relationship with a lot of them. I don't even know them sometimes, not because of the size, but because, you know, I have neglected that role. So, but the church is a family. It's not an orphanage where everyone has a relationship with each other. And size should never be the excuse. And the truth number two is that the church is not only a family. The church is a place where everyone is trained. Every member must be a minister. And so this is where the preparing part. You talk about preparing them so that they can be independent, releasing them instead of trying to keep them. And that is the kind of church that I believe the book of Acts have demonstrated to us. It's not about keeping or gathering. It's about sending and scattering.
Yeah, I love that the scattering is not a negative thing, and it's not the first time the church has experienced it. Being able to look back at, usually we like to look back at the book of Acts anyway to see how should we be doing things, and seeing that the church was scattered, and that's how we even exist as the church today from what happened in that season. So we can only imagine if Jesus tarries, what's going to come from this season when the church is scattered again and people are remembering, wait a minute, I can't just depend on my pastor. I'm the minister because I'm here in this community. My pastor's not here, maybe can't even come here. So what can I do now? And how can I have an impact separated from the church building? So I think that's very encouraging. The last thing I wanted to ask you was maybe in your prayer time or studying of the word in these days, what are some lessons that you think we should be learning? And we've discussed some of that, but as a family, so for our individual families and as a church, what are some lessons we can come out of this season with?
After this pandemic, Pastor Chris, we all know it's going to be a very different world.
Right.
So we have to adapt and get prepared for a different world, a different Medan, a different Hong Kong. So I think my advice would be, which is something that here I need to remind our leadership at all times, reopening church is not the goal. If my only prayer and my only goal is to wait for the church to reopen, I've missed the point.
Right.
I think this whole journey that God has taken us, all of us, everywhere, we've never seen this in the history of the church. It would be painful that we will revert back to the old ways and the old mindset. So reopening is almost, I would say, wrong.
Right.
Our goal and our prayer is should never be just reopening simply. Of course, we will reopen, but that is not the goal.
Right.
I believe the church is more biblical, more practical, more powerful than ever before in the history of the church. Today, everywhere, there is a revival coming. I think we haven't fully seen it yet, but the pandemic is still at least many months still in front of us. I think a revival is coming our way. A lot of the end time prophecies that we have read from scripture, not from television, from scripture, I think when you begin to read those prophecies again, you can sense the spirit of the prophecy that you're reading from the Bible. It's almost, it's the same, it's the spirit of the day that we're living in. Okay, I'm not going to the details or whatever thing, I'm not good at those things, but I know that we're living in these last days. So my advice would be, I think the church, let us be radical. Let us continue to take steps of faith as a church. Unity is so important. There are back doors, side doors, and front doors of the church. Sometimes when times were good, we are always trying to close the back doors. But I think in this season, Pastor Chris, we should open the front door wide and focus on your side door. People that has always been with the church. I've heard stories after stories about how pastors begin to see their people quite differently. They begin to, their hearts are so touched and moved, begin to see how faithful the people are. I'm included. I'm one of those. I've never seen the church. I've been with the church for over 20 years here, I say 23 years. I begin to see, wow, you know, I begin to focus on the side doors. Those that have always been there, that love the church, love God, and needed to be activated. And today, our church is still around, and we can still operate. Our ministry continues because of these people, Pastor Chris. You know that, right?
Right.
And the back doors, it's not a season where you want to be trying to close your back doors or watch your back doors. Focus on the side doors.
Right.
And make sure that we are strong enough to take care of people who come in from our front doors.
Yeah, I like that. I think it has been such a crazy season, and we've seen even some of those people that have always been there, but maybe never stepped up as a leader, or we've seen even in this season, new leaders emerging among our team and in our church, and you know, it's just crazy, and I do believe there's so much coming. I feel it, I believe it, that revival is coming. I feel that we're being made stronger than ever. You know, I agree also, if we just open up IC Medan or at ICA Hong Kong and just open up and do it like we did back in March, I would be extremely disappointed. That's why I don't even like the idea of when people say, when are we going to get back to normal? Because for me now, normal would be a disappointment. I don't want normal ever again. I want better than that. And
it is
I'm
true.
Excited, I mean, about what it will look
here
like.
Here we remind our people, the church is not closed. If the church is the people of God, then we're not closed. We are everywhere. We're meeting everywhere. And we could meet anytime. Okay, whether online or in person, whether in a bigger group or a smaller group, whatever that would allow us to. All right, our contexts are all different. Whatever that would be legal and right. So the church is literally still open, and not only on Sunday, but every day. So the church is not closed.
Yeah, I love that. not only still open, I think we can be more active than ever and reminded that we can do things all week. I loved when you were teaching about the church and looking at the book of Acts, that they didn't meet weekly, but they met daily. And I love the fact that we're reminded, looking back at Acts, church isn't just a Sunday thing. We should be the church Monday through Sunday, 7 days a week.
That's correct. You know, I'm so excited, Pastor Chris. Each time when I think of your city and your church and your leadership, I cannot help but really, really, really thank God for a leader like you that He has placed you in Medan just a few years ago. And already the fruits are all there, very evident. You're in the will of God, and your church is so strategic. Among all the places, why Medan? I ask myself sometimes. But I think that it's very clearly that Medan has such an influence in the whole of Indonesia. I've said this in the beginning of this talk today. But I just want you to know and be encouraged that, you know, a lot of things that you were doing, your church as well, you have been faithful in your area, in your city, in Medan. And as you know, whenever we are faithful with the little, God always takes us and entrusts us with bigger responsibility. And sometimes it's quite fearful to be faithful, right? You get more work. Who wants to be faithful when you've been given more work again?
Yeah.
But in the ministry, you know, it's always a joy when you're being entrusted. It's not about more work, but being entrusted. Not entitled, but entrusted. I begin to see a picture of you, Pastor Chris and Carrie and Isa Medan. God entrusting. God just putting on something more on your shoulder. And really, I see a picture of the cries and the prayers of Indonesia. Indonesia is a huge country, lots of people, very diverse, languages, cultures, race, colors, in every way. And this is the birth of something so new in out of nowhere in Indonesia, the work that you are doing right now, so new, but so fresh. Compared to the size of Indonesia, you are so small and could be perceived as weak and really not much of a resource. But I begin to see an anointing that is resting upon you and the faith that is beginning to stir within you. You're a man of faith. And I like it because I see that, you know, you and Carrie and your team, you really enjoy wherever God has placed you. And I like it, the spirit of joy. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. I think joy is evident. And God is entrusting you. You are the faith has brought about faithfulness. And I just want your church to know that get ready. Just continue to flow with God. I think this pandemic has taught me and taught a lot of us. We're so good at planning, you know. And now if I would ask pastors and churches, what is your plan for 2021? Nobody can give us an answer, right? Nobody even know what's going to happen next month. I think this is exactly what God wants it to be.
Yeah.
We're humble. We can't plan. And this is exactly what God has planned. And therefore, He can plan for us. And God is planning for you. I'm sure you have some type of plans before this. But God is going to come and say, you know, my child, my son, you know, look at my plan, so much bigger, so much more. And take a step of faith. You're going to be stretched, but God is going to continue to give you that strong anointing, apostolic anointing, that favor, that resources that you need. So I'm just encouraging your church and your spiritual children, all of you, you know, to stay united, to trust your pastor, to follow his leadership, all right? And some of us may feel like, oh, you know, Pastor, this is great. You know, we've just moved into a new building. You know, let's just be focused doing whatever that, you know. No, I think God has something bigger. And I know that Pastor Chris, you are ready, and your wife, Carrie, you are all ready. But I'm just saying something to just to remind you guys and your church. I'm excited for you, you know, and I'll be praying for you. I'm praying for you every day.
Wow. Hey, thank you so much for the encouragement and for sharing. Unfortunately, our time's run out. I wish we had more time to talk, but I feel blessed, and I'm sure people that are viewing today will be encouraged and reminded to continue to be the church and to see the opportunities in this season that God's presenting, that this isn't a wasted time, that God's at work and He's strengthening His church. So would you mind to close us in prayer and pray for those who are viewing today?
Father, we want to pray for ICA Medan. We thank you for Pastor Chris and Carrie. Thank you for their leadership, their love for Indonesia. Lord, their purity and the sincerity of their heart when it comes to the things of God. And I thank you for the joy that they have brought to the city. I see a picture, as we begin to pray here, I see a picture of mountains. I see a picture of mountains being moved. I see there are many mountains. In this time of pandemic, the mountains of fear, the mountains of unemployment, the mountains of poverty and sickness, a lot of mountains where people are not able to move forward, people who are in fear, people who are panicking. And God has given you a supernatural apostolic authority to command the mountains to be moved in your city, in your nation. I see a picture of keys. God has given you, Pastor Chris and ICA Medan, apostolic keys to unlock resources and provisions for your country, for your nation. Not just eliminating and removing the mountains that have been an obstacle and an hindrance, but also giving you opportunities, not only dealing with obstacles, but opportunities, not only dealing with the problems that your country is facing, but also giving you promises and provision, giving you keys. Be faithful with the keys that God has entrusted to you. Steward it and entrust it to reliable men and women. And you are going to grow in influence, not only in the spirit realm, but also in the earthly realm, in your city. People will notice that you have come to bless the city. You have come to make Indonesia a better place, to love the people. And when this pandemic is over, it's going to be a different Indonesia. God will pave the way for you to be able to just speak into their lives, not only from the pulpit, but beyond your church. And Father, I just pray for that appointment to come where the disappointment of this world happens to each one of us. Men are looking for an appointment with God. And I pray for this man and his wife, Carrie, Lord, that the assignment that you have given, the appointment that you have entrusted to them, Lord, will come to pass, will come to reality in this coming days, in this near future. We believe that covering upon them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Ed, thank you so much. I really value you as a friend and appreciate not only your leadership in the church there in Hong Kong, but among all the ICA churches. I know most of the other churches I refer to as our sister church, but ICA Hong Kong is really more like a mother to us. So I'm just thankful for the blessing you are to the church, the blessing you are to my life. And man, Carrie and I love you and look forward to seeing you again sometime, especially in person here in Medan.
Yeah, we're proud of you. God bless you, Pastor Chris.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for this opportunity. And bless you, ICA Medan.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
This is the end of the message today. Thank you again for listening to our podcast.